The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Shavua Tov, Boker Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. It seems like everybody's very much on the ball. I'm not going to be talking about football today. There was a lot of excitement. But I do want to talk about a bill that was introduced to the cabinet yesterday that caused a lot of emotion. And this was a bill to budget approximately 2 billion shekels of extra money to people in Israel with special needs. And the emotion came from our foreign minister, Yair Lapid, who apparently, according to the reports, burst into tears in an emotional outburst as he requested the support from his cabinet colleagues to increase funding of government aid to Israelis with special needs. And he was very much emotional when the cabinet agreed to this bill, which obviously is only a cabinet bill at the moment. It hasn't gone through the Knesset yet, as was pointed out by Finance Minister Avigdor Lieberman. But for Yair Lapid, it was a very emotional moment. And the reason is because he has a daughter who suffers from autism.
I was wondering about that, because I read the article. Well, I saw that he was very emotional, and I wondered if there's a personal connection, because normally there is in this type of, you know, with that type of reaction.
Right, so that's exactly the story, that he has a daughter who suffers from autism, and for him, it was just a special crusade to bring this bill, first of all, to the cabinet, and obviously, ultimately, to the Knesset for a vote. He was very thankful to his fellow ministers for supporting the bill. 2 billion shekels of budget is not insignificant to Israel's economy. And so that's obviously a big moment forward. And Prime Minister Naftali Bennett was very proud of this, saying that we're allocating approximately 2 billion shekels for the transition to life in the community and for a range of new services, including assistance by social workers, guiding in running a household, stenographic and translation services into sign language, and many, many other things that this money will apparently help to somehow integrate people with special needs into our community. And so the Israeli policy and culture about coping with coping and assisting people with special needs is to somehow integrate them into society as much as possible, rather than to separate them. And we've already spoken about the fact that the IDF has a special program for soldiers with special needs to somehow be able to integrate them into the IDF as well. So the policy, the strategy is integration rather than separation. One of the things that this money will also be used to do is to provide 100 new accessible intercity buses for people who have disabilities so that they'll be able to go to work, so that they'll be able to visit their families, to go to their studies using these special accessible buses, so that life for them will be a lot easier as they become, or as they continue to be, more integrated as possible into Israeli society.
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. The advancements in this space is really, really remarkable. A member of the coalition government who resigned last week has now decided to return to the coalition. This is exhausting. Do they have a revolving door there?
This is exhausting. There are so many political sub-interests being served at the moment. And we do say, Howard, and I think that you will recall, that when the government was put together, we did have some skepticism about the number of different special interest groups that were being incorporated into this coalition. And we did question how all of those special interest groups would be served in a coalition where there were so many differing views, some of them even potentially contradictory, within one governing coalition. And now we understand exactly what the consequences are and what the price to be paid is for having such a disparate band of people with different special interest groups. And on this occasion, we are talking about a merits member of Knesset, Rinawi Zoabi, obviously also an Arab Israeli member of the merits faction, who decided on Thursday that she didn't want to be a member of the ruling coalition anymore, and she tendered her resignation. So she decided that she didn't want to be a member of the coalition, even though she wanted to continue to be a member of Knesset in the name of merits, which of course brings us back to that discussion that we had a few weeks ago about whether individuals have the right to do this because they represent a party rather than having been individually elected. And so do they have the right to do this? Well, apparently they think they do. And more than one or two people have, of course, done it up until now. And Zoabi is another one. We understand that a meeting took place yesterday involving a number of different Arab members of Knesset, including one member who represents the Israel Beitenu party run by Avigdor Lieberman, another Arab member of Knesset who is actually a minister in the government representing Meretz, and of course our renegade member of Knesset, Zoabi, had a meeting yesterday with the prime minister where apparently things were thrashed out. We understand from reports from the meeting that she was concerned that as an Arab Israeli member of Knesset, she just didn't have enough to show to her electorate, to her Arab Israeli electorate, that she was actually achieving anything for that particular sector in the Knesset at the moment. And so as a result of that particular discussion, there were some concessions made by the Prime Minister and by the coalition in order to somehow keep her in the government. We are not told exactly what the cost of these concessions are and exactly how much money might have been allocated to placate her and to be able to allow her to continue to be a member of the coalition while also feeling comfortable when standing up to her electorate to say that she has actually managed to achieve something on their behalf. The Prime Minister actually called upon Rinawi Zoabi to act unselfishly for the good of the country, and somehow they came to an agreement to allow her to stay within the ruling coalition. So at the moment, we still have the minority of 60 seats in the ruling coalition, whereas for a day or two while she was outside of the coalition, we only had 59 seats, which of course would have been a much more difficult situation to manage. There are some cynical reports that I've seen which suggest that this was a protest from Rinawi Zoabi, who apparently has been labeled to be Israel's next consul general in Shanghai. And there are some people who, on the one hand, are saying that's a very convenient job to give her as far away as possible from the Knesset so she can cause as little damage as possible to the ruling coalition and to the Knesset. That appointment was already mooted some time ago, so that's not something that was talked about in the last few days. But there are some suggestions that her resignation from the coalition was something of a protest at the fact that this progress on her appointment to Shanghai has been slowed down somewhere. It's not moving forward, and the government really needs to move forward in order to try to get that appointment made so she can go off to Shanghai and take up that position, which apparently she covets and she does look forward to taking up. So this might have been something of a protest just to try and encourage the government to move a little bit quicker on her appointment. There are some people who are saying, under the circumstances, is she actually appropriate for Israel to appoint to be the consul general in Shanghai, which is, of course, quite a senior diplomatic position in China, which for Israel is a very important trading partner. So I will leave listeners to draw their own conclusions about what they think.
Right. But it definitely becomes very problematic. You know, one of the complaints that we had with the last government was, or certainly one that I did, was that the Haredi parties, the ultra-Orthodox parties, were able to control a lot of what went on because they held it together. Now we're finding, because the coalition is so weak, that any minority party can really push their own agenda and use the threat of leaving the coalition. It becomes virtually impossible to run the country properly this way.
It's not even the minority parties, it's also minority individuals, because in this particular case, it wasn't the whole of the Meretz faction. It was just one individual within the faction. The faction itself was very much inclined to stay in the coalition. And in fact, some of the members of the faction came to the meeting yesterday in order to help try to convince Rinawi Zoabi to stay within the ruling coalition. So, yeah, I mean, it's not even down to small groups, it's down to individuals.
very, very problematic. A senior Iran Revolutionary Guard officer was assassinated in Tehran yesterday. Tell us about the story. It sounds very interesting.
This is really a fascinating story, and it's very much in our series of Iran Check Your Mezuzahs, mm-hmm. for sure, because this is a fascinating story about a senior Revolutionary Guard officer who was mysteriously assassinated yesterday in Tehran. The person involved is apparently someone who had spent some time in Syria, had returned from Syria back to Iran, obviously representing the Iranian Revolutionary Guard in Syria, carrying out whatever activities they're carrying out in Syria. There are also reports that he has been very much behind, or was very much behind, some attempts to lure Israeli businessmen, Israeli academics, and other Israelis traveling abroad to try and lure them into some sort of a trap, so that potentially they might be caught out. A very sophisticated plot of sending people WhatsApp and email messages from addresses that they might be able to recognize with one little letter changed, very, very almost insignificantly, almost without being able to notice it, just one letter, one small number changed in the address or the number that the message is sent from, in order to somehow try to lure people into coming into a trap which might have been set by, we believe, the Iranians and the Iranian National Revolutionary Guard, and some very, very fascinating communication. Fortunately, the Israelis who were targeted were smart and wise enough and wide awake enough in order to somehow avoid going into these traps, which we think were set to try and exact revenge on Israelis. So this is an individual who has clearly been very, very active in all of this, and suddenly, mysteriously, was assassinated in Tehran. Apparently, five bullets were used with a silencer in order to attack him yesterday as he moved around in Tehran. The man, whose name is Colonel Hassan Syed Kadayari, was the man who was shot while still near his car, which was near his home in Tehran, and apparently happens to be in the same street as the Iranian parliament, Mujahideen Islam Street in Tehran. That's where this assassination took place, right in the street where the Iranian parliament is situated in Tehran. So that adds a little bit of salt to the wound, adds insult to injury in terms of this particular action. Of course, the Mossad are the first to come under suspicion. That comes as no surprise to any of us. But this has been seemingly quite an amazing assassination carried out right under the noses of the Iranian parliamentarians in Mujahideen Islam Street in Tehran. And of course, people are speculating that this comes as a result of these attempts to lure Israelis into danger. Fortunately, something that has been avoided up until now, but the Mossad were certainly onto that and were following up these communications to try and track them down. It seems, from what we can gather, and this is only my speculation because I have no inside information whatsoever, but it seems as if though the Mossad might well have done their job particularly successfully on this occasion, somehow to eliminate this particular person from the picture, and at least to try to get rid of that threat for now. We know that these threats, unfortunately, will come up again, because there's always seemingly somebody to take his place. And so for now, at least, we show that they are not infallible, but unfortunately, neither are we. So we need to continue to be very, very cautious about what happens moving forward.
Absolutely, and an incredible story. This one is a bit worrying. Israel has recorded its first case of monkeypox. Do we need to panic?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, first of all, the name is just awful, right? Awful. When you hear the word monkeypox, but monkeypox apparently is the new illness that's sweeping across Europe in particular, and one that we need to be cautious of. And Israel confirmed that they have, in fact, one case of monkeypox. This has been officially positively identified, there was another person who was suspected to have contracted monkeypox, but that was afterwards rejected, saying that in fact it wasn't monkeypox and was something else that perhaps looked something similar to it. My understanding is that for people who have already had the smallpox vaccination, you can somehow avoid contracting monkeypox. But the way that it presents itself is really awful. I saw some pictures of it, and it's not something that you want to walk around in the street with. It's like, you know, skin lesions and things like that. It looks pretty awful. So it's not something that you can hide away in any meaningful way. And there are lots and lots of speculations, particularly sweeping the UK, where there have been a few dozen cases of monkeypox identified. This seems to be something that people can pass on from one to another by physically touching each other, through wounds in the skin and things like that. There are some speculation about it being more prevalent in certain community groups than in others. I'm not sure how relevant and valid that particular speculation is, but this is something now which I'm not quite sure if people are reporting it because they want something somehow to replace the coronavirus, which we're so tired of and had so much of.
And it's almost like we need something to fill that gap. I don't know. Or is it something that we need to be talking about? I'm not sure yet.
It looks a little kind of obscene. It's not something that you want to necessarily contract yourself. And I think that there are meaningful and relatively easy ways of being able to avoid it, including being vaccinated. I think, as I say, this is what I understand, and I would encourage people to consult professional medical advice and not take what I tell you as a given. But my understanding is that the smallpox vaccine is what we need in order to avoid this. And so this is now the new thing, apparently, that's sweeping Europe, not to be disregarded, but certainly not for the faint-hearted.
Absolutely right. We are going to get more information. We are going to be chatting to Professor Barry Shoup a little bit later in the show to find out more.